After the building of the Alaska Highway, completed in 1942, the areas along the highway began to attract a steady stream of people. Among them were Marlon and Mavis Brown, who now run the Fort Nelson Historical Society Museum. So what was life like in the camps along this remote stretch of road?
I would say there was a really good sense of community. We didn't travel back and forth much between the other camps, but some people did. Every camp had a curling rink, by the way. That was thanks to the foresight of the gentleman who was the superintendent of the southern end of the Alaska Highway, but he had been working up at Whitehorse before that and made sure there was a curling rink. It was a Quonset hut, but a curling rink in every camp, and that kept people busy and curling and entertained a lot of the winter, and we had a lot of winter.
What about news travelling up and down? Was there always kind of like lots of gossip moving up and down the highway?
I'm sure that there was, although as a woman sitting in the house or being in the house, we didn't hear it that much. We had no telephone. There was no telephones. You were allowed to use the government telephone or the one that was there that the bosses got back and forth to one another in the mornings, but you could use it for a few minutes, once a month or something, or in an emergency it could be used. But we had no radio. We didn't have any television. We didn't have much for newspapers or anything else either. You're kind of isolated, very isolated, actually, except that we didn't feel like we were isolated. We were just living our lives. We didn't realize that the world was really having anything very important going on without us.
Is that something that you miss now?
Sometimes I sure do. So I'm listening to all this stuff on the news. And of course, because for every bad thing that's done, there's probably 1,000 good things done. So good things don't make news. It's only bad things. And you get to thinking the world's going to hell in a handbasket and it's really wicked, but it's really not. It's just that's what the media makes us think. So yes, I kind of miss that. But I don't think I really want to go back and live so isolated again.
So what started you with the Heritage Museum? How did all that start?
My husband, Marl, has always been interested in antiques and he likes museums. And so right from the time we first got to 245, when he was sent off to take something to the dump, quite often he'd squirrel it away and keep it someplace. And that showed up when we got into town and he started then gathering things for the museum. And because the museum was privately built, not government funded, before it was ever started, they got a historical society together, and they were fundraising and starting on the building for 10 years before it actually opened. And so our yard, because he did most of the work for the garage sales, looked like the city dump. It was full of washing machines and dryers and everything anybody else didn't want to fix. They'd bring it to him, and he was expected to fix it and sell it at the next garage sale. But the museum itself then developed from that. And it sounds like I'm bragging, and I don't mean it to sound braggy, but a whole lot of the stuff that's here is here only because people know him and know of his love of the antiques and the fact that he knows how to make just about anything pre-digital run.
So do you find you actually get a lot of donations as well from people who sort of think, well, I don't know what to do with this, it's too good to throw away, but where would I put it?
Yes, that's right. There's a lot of things here that people have donated because of that and because they know his reputation. And they know that it will be treasured.
And you have to keep building new buildings to put things in, because it seems like every little corner you turn, there's something else to look at.
Well, yes, we have actually put up new buildings. And one of the nice big ones that they put up and worked at really hard, and it was done by our own crew, was a big Quonset building. And then that following year, we had snow beyond belief, and the Quonset building smashed in. And actually then later on, so did our great big rec center go down. You'd have thought that the rec center would have had enough brains to go shovel off the snow, having seen what happened over here. It was one of those winters where nothing melted. Usually you get snow and then you get a little thaw, and with the Quonset, Marl had thought that it would melt off, but nothing melted. It just sort of stuck onto the metal and it just built up to a very high depth of snow, which was way heavier than what the building was designed for.
And you've also got things like, you know, a logger's cabin and an old house and so on. How have you moved these things from where they were originally to here? It seems incredible to actually have, in fact, two or three entire buildings in a museum.
Well, the trapper's cabin was built here, and it was started as a project by Northern Lights College with a log cabin building. they got partway through and I don't know, petered out and they didn't finish. But we did have a man who was in town that was a log cabin builder. And so he completed that. The Hudson Bay House was at the old fort, which is across the river from the airport. It was the Hudson Bay manager's house there. And somebody had bought that and moved it to 295. And then the Historical Society bought it from that lady and had it moved in here. There's also the Anglican church is supposed to be moved down here. The Anglicans gave the church to the museum a few years ago, and it's been ready to move for some time, and then it'll be down here. And we'll not use it for storage. It'll be used, kept as a church and for sort of sacred things. And I'm hoping that there'll be some weddings and things take place in it.
That's Mavis Brown from the Fort Nelson Historical Society Museum in British Columbia, Canada.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.